Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you and praise you. You are a wonderful God and we love you, Lord. And we just thank you for just opening up all the doors and things that you're opening up for John. And we just lift all that up to you and pray that you will continue to do so, Lord. What a wonderful thing that you're putting in front of him and giving him the excitement to just keep moving forward full speed ahead with that. We thank you, Lord, that we are back here today. I have totally missed coming in here and just looking at your word and sharing with each other. And it's been kind of a rough few weeks for several of us, Lord. So we just thank you that we're back. And thank you that Kevin and Sherry's back with us this morning, Lord. And we just continue to lift them up to you. And we just lift this whole class up to you. We lift this whole church up to you and all the things that you want to do with us, to us, and through us, Lord. And we just pray that your presence would be here with us during this time, that you would guide our discussion. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that.
Kind of recap. We were talking about the Holy Spirit enabling us to wait. And we looked at Galatians 5, and because the study guide told us to look at verse 5. But then we read the whole thing, and the context of the whole passage was more about like freedom versus bondage. And Paul says grace is enough. And he said that a couple of times in that passage. We looked at Matthew and talked about false disciples, Matthew 7, and we talked about Christian routines and the bondage that sometimes can come with the perception of other Christians and of non-Christians of what Christianity really is about, because we get into routines sometimes, and those routines can be bondage to us if the routines are just routines and they're empty. We looked at Romans 8, and we talked about being a child of God and our adoption into the family of God. And we talked about how the whole creation groans painfully as we wait for our final transformation and being redeemed and glorified like Christ. Then we were talking about how the Holy Spirit intercedes and helps us wait patiently. And we started to look at 2 Peter, and that's where we ran out of time and kind of left off. So I want to go to 2 Peter 3.
How far am I going?
Just 1 through 4.
Okay. When you find it, when you hear an amen.
Amen.
Okay. 2 Peter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord our Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walkers after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning of the creation.
Okay, so he's talking about in the last days there will be scoffers. They don't believe that Christ is returning. I'm sorry, it's 2 Peter.
2 Peter 3.
We took off too fast. Sorry, dear.
Scoffers walking the earth, huh?
Scoffers. So it says in the last days there will be scoffers. They don't believe that Christ is returning, right? They're saying ever since creation, everything's just been going on and on like it has been all along. And where is this Lord? Where is the coming that you keep talking about? And they don't believe. But there are those who have been waiting a long, long time. Most of us have been waiting our whole lives, you know. Generations and generations of people have waited their whole lives. So, you know, what makes us continue to wait? I mean, why do we continue to wait and hope? Let's look at verse 5 through 9. It says, but they deliberately forgot. Did you find it, Dorothy?
Yes.
Okay, but they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But men, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. I'm sorry, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day.
How do you determine that?
Right. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Hmm.
So when we say with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, some people take that and they say, oh, well, that's how what we're going to use to figure out the coming of the Lord. And they, you know, say, oh, it's 7 days, so it's 7,000 years. And they just go on with a lot of that. But really what he's saying here is he's not giving us a formula. He's saying 1,000 years is nothing to the Lord. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. It's like nothing. There's no, he's not locked into our time, right? We can wait a whole lifetime from the day we're born and until we die, and it's just a drop of time for the Lord. It's almost nothing.
he's timeless.
He's what?
Timeless.
He's timeless, absolutely. Let's see, where do I need to jump to? Yeah, I wrote some stuff here. I put time is of the essence. We live in an instant world. But with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Most of us are used to living a tight schedule. You know, we make appointments for specific times. We have deadlines forced on us at work oftentimes or other places. Our work is usually filled with busyness. Many of us have to jump into time clocks, and it's recorded whether we're on time and how many minutes you were late or how many minutes, whatever. And people usually get paid by the hour. Most people, even if you're salaried, your salary is determined by the expectation how many hours you would work. And we live by calendars and organizers and watches and cell phones to keep track of time. We try to juggle our time. We try to make the best of our time. We try to save time. We try to make time. Which, by the way, we didn't make any daylight, by the way, when we change our clocks. When we move our clocks around. We don't really make daylight. But we have more information than we could ever learn or process in our whole lives right at our fingertips instantly with the good old World Wide Web. Right? Instantly. And we have instant food, and we have instant drinks, and we have instant information, and we live our lives with instant gratification. And that's how we're all just, we're fed that constantly. And we're so used to getting what we want when we want it, that even those who consider ourselves patient people, we still get upset.
There's not enough time in the day.
There's not enough time in the day.
I was just thinking, nothing makes me more impatient than going through a drive-thru and having to wait.
Oh,
you know, it's like, this is a drive-thru, it's supposed to be fast, come on people, let's get moving.
Yeah.
And that's wrong with me. I mean,
then you get up there and tell you to wait, move ahead.
Yeah, move ahead.
Or an express line at Walmart. You know, we get impatient when we set a little red light and the red light takes an extra 20 seconds or something. It's like, there's no traffic, go ahead and change.
What am I waiting for?
Yes, right? I mean, don't we get, it's the craziest things. If we stand in line, if somebody else wastes our time, oh, that's horrible. You're wasting my time. I got other things to do. Do you think?
There's 5 minutes of my time I'm never going to get back.
Uh-huh. Right? We get upset when we type something in and it takes 20 seconds instead of 10 seconds for our signal to bounce off of 20 different towers up into outer space, come down off of the satellite in outer space back to our phone, and we're going, what is taking so long?
What is it? What they did before we had all of these amenities.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, we are so spoiled by the amenities that we have today. What did they do back in the day?
Yeah. They had a lot more patience. A lot more patience.
Yeah.
They must have.
And we have so many cars on the road that test our patience. And
Newark alone.
And, you know, everybody who drives faster than us is an idiot, and everybody who drives slower than us is a moron.
Yeah, they're always in a hurry to go something, right? What's their hurry? I'm right behind you, buddy.
I like the ones that, like, take off from the red light and just try to blow you away, then you meet them at the next red light.
Yeah, great.
What is that? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Funny.
It makes no sense.
That worked out in your favor, didn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But the truth is, we're always in such a big hurry, and we try to spend our time carefully, right? We spend our time, we spend our minutes and our hours, and sometimes even seconds. You know, we're so careful with time. It's so valuable to us. And I think it's interesting that we spend money and we spend time. Those are two things that we spend, you know. We put a lot of value on those, on both of those. But
they're both wasted, too.
They're both wasted, too. But we're waiting. We're waiting, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are we waiting for? That's what Peter, let's go to 2 Peter.
Revelation.
Let's go to 2 Peter. Where am I at?
2 Peter 3.
Where are we, Peter? Where am I at here? Now, a couple other things first. I'm sorry. Read verses 10 through 12.
Peter? In 2 Peter 3?
In 2 Peter 3.
10 through 12?
10 through 12.
Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which in the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are herein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
The day of the Lord. Is that what we're waiting for?
Oh, man. I don't want to be on the earth when the fire comes.
The day of the Lord.
Look what Isaiah 2 says. Let's go back to Isaiah 2.
At the end of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 2.
All the way back to Isaiah 2.
That's Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
That is.
Yes, after Proverbs, I think. Isaiah 2.
Mm-hmm.
At the very beginning. Oh, there it is.
Find it?
Yeah, the day of the Lord. Which one? I guess there's one.
You can't find it? Sure, you got those pretty little purple things on there.
I know.
Okay.
Isaiah 2, what was the verse?
We're going to read all of it.
Oh, okay.
Isaiah 2, the whole thing?
That's not very long.
The mountain of the Lord is the first one.
What do you read?
Isaiah 2.
Isaiah
2. Yeah. It's okay, because you know what? We can wait. That's what we're learning how to do with wait.
Right.
We're learning how to wait. About in the middle.
Okay.
I'd say it's pretty close to the whole middle.
Yep.
But that's a good way to meet. It's just going to stand in there. This happens. Can you imagine what it's going to look like when this happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I read this before. And when this all transpires, it's going to be like.
Yep. Here's what it says. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, said, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares. and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. But then it says this, you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and clasp hands with pagans. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. So man will be brought low, and mankind humbled. Do not forgive them. Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled, and the pride of men brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all of the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains and the high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, and for every trading ship and every stately vessel, the arrogance of man will be brought low, and the pride of man humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will disappear. Men will flee to caves in the rocks and to holes in the ground from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. In that day, men will throw away to the rodents and bats their idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made to worship. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to the overhanging crags from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? That's pretty serious stuff there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's scary.
Now, you know, he's talking to the house of Jacob, but does that not sound like all of us today? Does that not sound like our whole society and everything today? I mean, it's the same. You know, we've got lots and lots and lots of treasures, and we focus on those treasures, and we focus on our stuff, and we focus on the work of our hands more than we focus on the Lord sometimes. Now look at what it says in Amos 5.
Amos 5.
Yeah, so if you couldn't find Isaiah, Amos is going to be even trickier.
He's the minor prophet.
Yeah.
Not that that helps, but...
Amos is between Joel and Obadiah.
After Ezekiel, I think.
It's after Joel.
Yeah, after Joel and before Obadiah.
Way after Ezekiel. Joel?
Amos 5 from the beginning, you're on?
No, we're going to start at 18. 18 to 27.
And Amos, Jesus is our burden barrier. Bearer, not barrier. Bearer.
Well, is that a note you had written down there?
Yeah. Oh.
We ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 5:18, it says, the day of the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hands on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty.
Wow.
It is harsh. But I mean, what can we, again, he's talking to the house of Israel here, but what can we pull out of that? I mean, honestly, what can we pull out of that?
There's a lot in that.
There is a lot in that. He's saying, you know what? I don't want your routines. That's what we mentioned before, the routines. He's saying, I don't want your routines. I don't want your rituals. I don't want you to come and do all of these things just because you're told to do them. I want you. I want your heart. I want justice. I want, what do you say? Let justice, how do you say that? Let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. I mean, he wants us to treat each other just. He wants us to live in righteousness, right? He doesn't want our routines. He doesn't want us just to come and sit in the pews on Sundays. He doesn't want us to just sing certain songs. He doesn't want, I mean, that's okay. That's good. But that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for our dedication. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking for our commitment to living in righteousness, to living the way that he tells us to living just and treating each other just. The Israelites ignored the day of the Lord because they believed, and some still do today, that because they are God's chosen people, they will be vindicated and lifted up. But Amos says it will be dark and full of judgment because of their disobedience. And that sounds a lot, again, like today. Like us today.
Can I read this little verse I have right here on my side?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
The Israelites of Amos' day attend the necessary feasts and offer necessary sacrifices. But God is not fooled. He clearly sees the lack of devotion behind the hoopla.
Behind the hoopla.
Hoopla's in the Bible.
Behind the
hoopla. Well, you sure that's...
Well, it's not scripture, it's just somebody giving their
opinion. Yeah. Hoopla.
Yeah.
But that is that not true? So, you know, I don't know that we're really looking forward to the day of the Lord, because I think most of us really would like to not be here then, wouldn't we? When
I don't think
huh?
We're going
to
be.
When all of that comes to pass,
we're going
to
be.
No. I don't think that's what we're truly waiting for. I think what we're truly waiting for is more what is in 1 Thessalonians. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, I beat you.
Yeah, you beat my tablet.
That's because I got lucky.
You got it, Mark.
To it.
I'm there. Amen.
1 Thessalonians.
When you have it, let me say. Let me hear you say.
You got it. Let me hear it.
Yeah. You did beat me. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah.
I finally got all mine put online. But I keep that. Brandon bought me that Bible when I first came.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spill coffee or nothing else. So I leave that at home and use this on the tablet.
I was like that with this one.
Yeah, I'm real picky about that Bible.
Where am I at?
1 Thessalonians 4.
4.
13.
13.
4. 13. Now this says the coming of the Lord. Right? This doesn't say the day of the Lord. Oh. This says the coming of the Lord.
Or 16 to 17 talks about the rapture of the church. Just saying. I have a note right there that says so.
Okay. This says... Huh?
No, I don't like that.
Huh?
Oh. You don't like the tabs?
No.
First Thessalonians 4, did you say?
Yes. 4.
13.
Sorry, right. Verse 13.
4:13.
I like the Bible gateway.
Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Wow.
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with words. This is what we're looking for, right?
Yes.
is what we're all waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting patiently for. Waiting for how long we've been waiting. Some of us our whole lives. Some of us a few years. Some of us half our lives. But we're still waiting. This is what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Right? But we got to wait patiently. And why do we have to wait so patiently? We have to wait patiently because with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day.
Say and again, patiently. Have your neighbor say patiently.
This is what I do when I say patiently because I'm failing at it sometimes. Right?
Yes.
Smack your neighbor and say patiently.
It's hard. It's hard to be patient and wait patiently, but we know what's coming, and we get so excited about it, and we know that it's coming, and we want everybody else to know that it's coming, and you know, we just every day. Tom Jacob, he cracks me up. I love that guy, but he has worked out so much stuff that he is sure when the Lord's coming back. And that's been at least 3 times now. And I'm like, Tom, I'm really starting to get mad at you because you had my hopes up. But the truth is the reason he keeps doing that is because he wants it so badly. So badly.
We all do.
I know.
But don't you think when we really, really trust the Lord, it gives us more patience?
Oh, yes. Because we need to be living as children of God
every single day
through Christ, right? Not in this darkness that it was talking about,
right?
We need to be encouraging with each other and loving each other. Here's what it says if we go a little bit further. Right here in Thessalonians, it says, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night."
Right.
So we're not going to figure it out. No. We're not going to be sitting on the porch going, "Here I am, Lord, I'm ready," unless you're going out and doing that every day.
Right.
"While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Right? So we've been set apart from that. We have been given the Holy Spirit when we accepted Christ, and that Holy Spirit helps us to wait. Not always as patiently as I would like, but I keep waiting because I believe it. I know it. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Nothing that anyone could say or do could ever change my mind and make me no longer believe.
Exactly. Absolutely. Amen.
That's right.
No matter what.
That's right.
And the longer you live, the more you see him work.
Exactly.
The more positive you are of all that.
Tell you, I'm working on the 2 girls I'm in the classroom with this year. Yeah. And I'm so close. And Jesus is like right there. He's like, "Be patient with them. Be patient with them." And I'm like, "Right now, Jesus, right now."
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
Let's get them saved, Lord.
That's right.
It's one of those things, too, where if you could, you're running out of time. you want to see them now because you're running out of time. Yeah.
Especially with
family.
Yeah. And they're like family. I'm telling you, where we work at, it's like one big happy family.
Yeah.
With arguments here and there, of course.
Yeah, but like any family.
Yeah.
But see, I think people generations ago said, man, we're running out of time. We need to get serious about this. Right? I do. I think that people have been doing that all along. And as time goes on, we see more and more and more things unfold. And we go, we're running out of time. This has got to be close.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look at all the things that are happening in the world. We got to be close. We're getting so close.
Israelites don't even believe it's happened yet, though.
But it might be another 1,000 years.
But, you know,
I doubt it.
I see all these discoveries that they're opening up in Israel and that are confirming everything in the Bible. And it's like, can't you people wake up?
I know.
And see?
How can you not admit it?
Yeah.
How can you not see what's happening?
Yeah. But
I think people
that don't believe that.
Yeah. Right.
They're blind to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I would like to find something where someone packages it really nicely and puts it all together in something that's relatively easy to understand so that you could just go through it with some people and say, hey, look, you know, this is here and here and here. This happened here, 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 here. I know it's got to be out there.
Yeah,
I'll never really look for it. But,
it is packaged right in here.
It is packaged in here, but it's packaged and wrapped in duct tape and tied with ribbons and bows and then another layer of duct tape, and you got to get and
yours
dive.
Yours is in duct tape.
Well, literally. But, I mean, it's all in here, but you've got to dig and look and search and study and read and take
nice
the time.
Said, okay, the Bible says this, and here's the proof.
And here's where it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. I keep thinking of my kids and people that, you know, that I know that don't know the Lord, and I'm like, yeah, if I could just say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, they might go, wow, that's a lot of coincidence. Maybe there's something to this.
Not a coincidence, people.
Okay, so back to 2 Peter for just a second. Back to 2 Peter said, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. That's 2 Peter 3:13. Because we stopped at 12. We stopped at 12 where it says, as you look forward to the day of the Lord and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire and the elements that will melt in heat. But 13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And that's what we keep waiting for. We keep waiting for that rapture to be taken out of this mess that we have made the world, or Satan and us together have made of this world. But we want to be pulled out of this because we're tired of it, right? Like we said earlier, we groan painfully. It says all of creation groans painfully as we wait for this to happen, and that's what we do. We groan painfully. We want to get pulled out of here now. We want to be with Jesus now. We want to be in that place where there's no more preparation for war. The plow, the swords have been, you know, beaten into plowshares. There's peace. There's peace. I mean, if you took all of the selfishness, the self-righteousness, the war and the greed and all of that away, could you imagine how nice we would be to each other?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that not what we're all looking for, hoping for, waiting for, going like, yeah, now, come now.
Yes, definitely.
I think that's why it's so important that we come together, because when we come together, we find that.
Yes,
and hope.
Totally
and hope.
And hope. We give each other hope.
Yes.
That's what we need. We need that hope.
Because hope is the mainstay, I think.
Well, the hope is what keeps us from falling back into that bondage of darkness.
Yeah.
If we start to lose hope, we will fall back into that bondage of darkness, because that darkness is all around us. We're like a tea bag, right? And that cup of hot water is the world around us, and we get steeped in there and steeped in there. And you know what? That tea bag's got to release all that goodness and change the water, not let the water change the tea.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's what we have to do. But we got to give that hope to each other.
I like that.
I like that.
I mean, we got it. That's what we got to do with each other.
Attaboy. When's the last time you had an attaboy? Isn't that the greatest thing ever? I give them to me all the time.
Do you? You give them to yourself?
Yeah. Attaboy.
All right, that's all I got on this. But honestly, without the Holy Spirit, we could not wait. We would just fall back into all the garbage and all the darkness. And so the Holy Spirit definitely, because I went, the Holy Spirit helps us live. And they gave me Galatians 5:5. And I looked at Galatians 5:5 and I went, that doesn't even talk about that. That's something else. So I did it.
There.
Hidden in
the duct tape. Or hidden in the whatever
that's called. All right. Does anybody
want to
close with prayer?
Hit it,
John. First ask. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us that. Those adoption papers, Lord, for adopting us into your family, for giving us that opportunity to choose you, for calling us with your Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. for helping us to say yes through your Holy Spirit, for sustaining us in that decision and that choice every single day through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we mess up. We mess up. We're selfish. We're prideful. We're impatient. We let this world get all around us sometimes, and it feels like it's closing in. But Lord, when that world closes in around us, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just burst through, mm-hmm. that it would just be the light that pierces that darkness, Lord. And not only can we see where we're going, but people around us can see too. Because your light is so bright and so wonderful and so beautiful, Lord, that they can see and they want to follow and they want to see what's ahead. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to continue to reach out to the people around us. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to truly love our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes we let the busyness get to us. Sometimes we just let the things beat us down. I know that it has been rough for me personally, Lord, to be sick and to deal with all the issues that's been going on, but not once did I stop believing or hoping or anything in you, Lord. You give us that. You put that inside of us, and we eagerly, eagerly wait for your return. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you give us that promise, because that gives us hope.
And Father, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for our lives. And Lord, I ask that you just release your healing hands on anybody that is sick.
Yes.
And we pray healing over those people. Father God, I ask that you just continue to lift our church up to the altar. And I pray for the special needs of all the people that are going through tough times right now.
Yes.
I pray for the homeless and the sick, the afflicted and the addicted. And Lord, I thank you for my ministry and the things that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.